I've got nothing to do today. I'll add someone to the prayer list. A lot of you kids from Colport and the surrounding communities, Dave Reeder writes for the Delaware County Journal. Dave's a super good guy, and he's having some big health issues with him right now. And keep him in your prayer. Drop him a line on Facebook if you get a chance. He enjoys hearing from the kids that he's wrote about. And I think a guy who truly cares about these communities that he writes for. I ran into another guy that I'd went to high school with. I was a few years older than him. A smarter person would have realized this was Palm Sunday and would have done a sermon Palm Sunday based. But you don't have that guy. I don't know when Dad said I was doing this, but I get tunnel vision, and I just want to get what I'm going to do, get it done, so I can think about goofy stuff. I run into this guy yesterday, so all I'm thinking about, I've got to preach tomorrow. He said, "Well, are you excited for tomorrow?" I said, "Well, yeah, pretty nervous. You know, I get nervous." And he said, "You're nervous?" And I said, "Yeah, nervous." And he said, "Oh, all right. It's just WrestleMania. It's fake, you know." He remembered a time when I was pretty excited about grown men in spandex and choreographed fights, which I still am. I don't deny that. But he, I was kind of tunnel visioned and wasn't seeing his whole picture. And I was like, how did he know I was preaching? That's really good. This morning we're going to talk about loyalty, and loyalty to God and to church. The text, I think, that's up there now is there in 2 Samuel, and you can read that as we begin here, and we're going to move along, and we'll go back to that a little bit. The Coptic Christians, you've probably seen stories since the last of February, of these 21 Egyptian Christians who were beheaded. The Coptic Christians can be traced back to the time of the apostles. History puts that they were brought about by the preaching of Mark. They were very influential in the early years of Christianity. They competed a lot with Rome. The first college to train preachers was there in Alexandria. People like Didymus and Jerome taught there. The concept of Christian monasteries started there in Egypt. The Egyptian Christians are very familiar with persecution. First, they had the Jews to deal with, and then later, as Rome tried to put their fingerprint or their thumbprint on organized religion, they then tried to extinguish them. And then about the year 641 BC, when Islam began its rise in the area, they also became persecuted by the Muslims. Atrocities have been routinely committed against them. The 21 that were recently beheaded died with the name of Jesus on their lips. The idea was if they had just recanted their faith, their lives would be spared. Now, we don't, can't say for sure what that organization would do or not do, but that was the idea behind if they would just simply recant their faith. But they remained loyal unto death. Jesus writes to the church in Smyrna there in Revelation 2:10. It says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." They're going to kill a lot, but stay faithful. The loyalty of the early Christian was tested sorely. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, says, "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that for you yourselves have a better possession and a lasting one." Not everyone had enough faith to be loyal to Christ or to the apostles. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me, and may it not be held against them. And a little bit earlier than that, in verse 9, he says, to make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone on to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone on to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Demas was apparently afraid to die. Even without persecution, loyalty is becoming something that's faded in American culture. You have that bumper sticker of the biker's motto that says, sworn to fund, loyal to none. The divorce rate in our country has only slowed, really because fewer and fewer people are getting married. We don't really have a sense of loyalty to something like a butcher or to a certain store anymore. Do we really know what it means to be loyal? The word loyal comes from the Latin word legalum and from lex or the law. The old French meaning is that of good quality, faithful, honorable, law-abiding, legitimate. It also, in Webster's, goes as having or showing complete and constant support for someone or something. Faithful to a person, an ideal, a custom, a cause, or duty. And that it's characterized by showing faithfulness to commitments, vows, allegiance, obligations, etc. Loyalty is a strong feeling of support or allegiance. And you'll notice that that has a response from the heart. Faithfulness to commitments and obligation, and a strong feeling of support of someone or something. The Old Testament gives us examples of loyalty as well. Ittai the Gittite was loyal to King David. And there, again, back in 2 Samuel chapter 15, just verses 19 through 21, it said that the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile. Return to your own place. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you go wander with us? While I go where I will, why go where I will? Return and take back your brothers. Mercy be with you. But Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there your servant will be. This is true loyalty, because he had nothing to gain and put himself in great peril to remain with David. Of course, a classic example of loyalty was that of Ruth to her mother-in-law, Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, there it says, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you, or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. That is the Christian's attitude toward God. Commitment to a strange land with no anticipation of a good future. Daniel was loyal to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we were to go back into Daniel chapter 1, Daniel would not eat certain forbidden foods. And he risked his life to refuse the king's food. And his fellow captives backed him up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when promoted, Daniel was loyal to those who had been loyal to him. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49, it says, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made the request of the king. He appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon, while Daniel was at the king's court. The three friends of Job were also loyal to him, even when he was down. Now, They weren't your ideal comforters, but they were there for Job in his hour of need. It's told that they sat for many, many days. And then just some examples of loyalty in the New Testament. The apostles were very loyal to Christ when faced with threats. There in the early beginnings of the church in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, it says, when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen or heard. They were standing before the same people that had brought about the death of Jesus and were able to say those words. Aquila and Priscilla were loyal to Paul. In Romans, the 16th chapter, verses 3 through 5, Paul there says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, for whom I life risk their own necks, for whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. They risk their lives for a fellow worker in Christ. Barnabas was loyal to John Mark. There in Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 37, it says that Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on to do the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, and being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And so the church endorsed Paul. But Barnabas was willing to be left out of that mission to remain loyal to Mark. And of course, Jesus is our ultimate example of loyalty. And again, those verses in John chapter 10, 11 through 15, where Jesus says, that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We can have trust and faith that God's promises are going to be loyal to us. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says to make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with whatever you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Jesus suffered and died for others to leave an example for us to try to follow. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:21 that you've all been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And there are a lot of challenges to our loyalty today. We've looked at several scriptures that set forth loyalty as a required virtue. And Deuteronomy chapter 13 sets forth God's view of loyalty. It says there, if someone seduces you to worship other gods, kill them, even if it's a relative. If a city goes after another god, utterly destroy it. God also condemns that friendship with the world as spiritual adultery. James writes in James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? And therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But by nature, we want to fit in. We want to be accepted and we want to be liked. But it's an obvious choice that we have to make. Being isolated in this world makes loyalty something very difficult. It's not unusual for a Christian not to see another Christian all week. While on earth, you know, we are required, though, to maintain that resident alien status. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And again, Peter in 1 Peter 2:11 says, "I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul." God's people have always realized that they are aliens on earth. The writer of Hebrews in 11:13 says that all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and in exiles on earth. Like them, we live in an anticipation of a promised land in which we are headed. Being closely involved with the people of the world can sometimes be an obstacle to loyalty. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:12 that you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. The word must be accepted, and it must be implanted into our hearts so that it controls our values. We must do our best to restrain ourselves from evil because it's so ingrained in us to want to do evil things, to do something the easy way. Paul again in 2 Corinthians 6:13 says, "Now in a like exchange I speak as to children, open wide to us also." Children are those who need guidance. They don't always want it, but they need those rudders. And he appeals to them to receive instructions. And there in verse 14, he says, "Don't be bound together. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have the righteous with the lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" You can't avoid the world, but you can't form relationships with the world. When bound together with unbelievers, they have a strong influence over one. And there are many ways that you can be bound, whether it's through marriage or through close friendships, business, and other things. Again, Paul continues there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, going on in verse 15. He says, "Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.'" The Christian is transformed and is forbidden to conform to the world's values. And so how can people who have opposing values be in a close relationship? Paul sums that up in verse 17. He says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." Christians can only remain loyal to God if they identify with God's people. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. We need to understand that sense of community. God demands an exclusive relationship. To accept the value system of the world is to be an obstacle to loyalty. What is the most important thing in your life? Is it a spouse, your family, your job, your health? If it's anything or anyone on this earth, you've got a spiritual problem. When we want the same exact things as the world wants, we've turned our backs from God. Jesus says in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 26, that if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The Christian's love for God and for his Christ must be so strong by comparison as if he would hate everyone else. And again in Luke 9:23, it says, if one does not commit to serve God on a daily basis, we have to be loyal to God above all, above everyone and everything. And Satan will find a lot of different ways to provide our lives with distractions. You get so busy that you can't attend church. You find people that you want to be with during those times, or there's opportunities, or there's pleasures to be had. It's a day off. You don't have to be anywhere. Everyone around us centers their lives on things from this earth. And it's hard to be spiritual when you're around that. And Satan makes it very hard to stay focused on spiritual things, on serving God's interests. Attendance is a basic thing, but it's more than just filling the pew. We're on a journey to that promised land. Loyalty is composed of decisions we make day in and day out. We can't be loyal to God without being loyal to his church. We can't be loyal to God without being loyal to his people. God, Jesus, was loyal to you, so much so that it caused him to be crucified. Is there anyone here this morning that needs to make that same devotion of loyalty to God? If there is, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.